Hello, and welcome to Python 411, Computer Programming for Everybody. This podcast is about PyGoogle and other related modules. A few years ago, Google, the search engine company, introduced an API that was available for use by programmers. Up until then, programmers who wanted to use the Google search results in their scripts and programs had to do what is called screen scraping, which I was a very amateurish advocate of. And we scraped the web by looking at the HTML pages when you did a Google after you did a Google search and trying to extract the information. And by opening up their APIs, Google made this a lot easier. They did put a few restrictions on. That is, you have to get a license key and build it into your program. And that particular license key can only be used 100 times per day maximum, or for 100 queries per day. So you couldn't use this for a large professional business application, but for hobbyist use, it's fine. But if you do more than 100 queries a day, then you won't be able to do any more until 24 hours the next day. Okay, one of the fortunate things about Python is that since it is so popular and there are so many talented programmers out there using Python, not long after the Google API was introduced, there was a Python module for calling the Google APIs in a Python program in a very Pythonic way. And like many of these programs, PyGoogle was really done by an incredible individual named Mark Pilgrim. Mark Pilgrim, and I'll put links to his website and all of these modules on my site. Mark Pilgrim wrote the PyGoogle module and several other similar ones I'll mention later in this podcast. But basically, it makes it very Pythonic to access these APIs. Now, I had been doing screen scraping to write several scripts of mine, which I'm now, well, I rewrote them a long time ago using the PyGoogle module. Now I'm rewriting them again to make them even better. And in a future podcast, not too far in the future, I hope, I'll reveal the results and step through that as sort of a learning exercise, those scripts of mine. But for this time, I just want to mention the PyGoogle and say a little bit more about it and related modules. What I used Google APIs for was primarily a function called do Google search and a class called search results metadata. And in particular, I used a variable from search results metadata class called estimated total results count, which would estimate for each query of words, combination of words, it would estimate the number of result pages so that you can see the popularity of any given combination of search words. But there are many, many more types of things you can do. There's search result class and search return value, functions like do spelling suggestion and get cached page, and variables that you can do like finding the end index of the last returned results, and you could do estimate is exact, is total results count an exact value, and search comments for a human readable informational message. Lots and lots of things that you can do with the results from Google search using the Google API and PyGoogle. Now, interestingly, in addition to the Google API and PyGoogle by Mark Pilgrim, Mark himself has done several other modules using this capability, and others have chimed in and come up with some interesting modules like Googleism and Googly and Pi Suggestion using the suggestion capability. You know, Google will sometimes suggest, as you type in a query, it will suggest what might come next from its database of what has been coming next from other people if it's a common query that's been typed in hundreds of thousands of times. And you can access that suggestion from the Google APIs using PyGoogle, and I did that for my program. And I think that it should be noted, and I've played around with the fact that you can also access not only the regular Google search results, but also images, a search on images or news groups or news, anything that capability that the Google search engine has is accessible to the Google APIs and through PyGoogle by Mark Pilgrim. Further examples of things you can do along those lines is the book search capability. You can access that through this module, or you can access Froogle or movies, searches on movies, news headlines, phone book, or just about anything that Google Maps, quotes, weather, you name it. And again, I'd like to stress that it's very easy to use. You just go to Google, sign up to get your license key. Remember to put that in. It shows you exactly how to do it. You put it in your program. And basically, just follow the API directions that are right there on the website, and you can't go wrong. And download PyGoogle module from Mark Pilgrim. I'll have links to all of these, plus all the other related modules that I've mentioned in this podcast. Now, interestingly, Yahoo also came out with such an API, and it works pretty much the same. I prefer Google, but I've played around with PyYahoo, and it works just fine. And I've also begun to play around with some other open source or third-party type programs that have Python modules for their API, such as for Flickr. There's a Python module for the Flickr photo service on the web, or Amazon there's a Python module to access the Amazon APIs, and also Delicious, which I spoke about in an earlier podcast, which is very useful to have a Python API to that. And so in searching around for this podcast, I looked, and lo and behold, there's a PyTechnorati and a PyFeedster and you know, a PyBlogger, a PySiteStats. So many, many good Python modules. These are wonderful to play around with and actually quite useful. So in a brief example of my use of the Google functionality, just to show you how easy it is, for instance, in my script that I'll be detailing later, here's the example of a simple function that I defined to use in my scripts. So define get Google hits of self and query. So then I have, in the function consists of four lines. Google.licenseKey is equal to, and then I have like a 20-digit license key that I got from Google. So that makes it work because I have the license key. Then I have data is equal to Google.doGoogleSearch of query. And then hits is equal to data.meta.estimatedTotalResultsCount. And then return hits. So that returns the popularity of a query. And I use that with a question and proposed answer. So if I have five proposed or possible solutions to the question that I'm querying Google with, then I combine each one individually, each possibility, with the original query and see which is the most popular. Now, I do a lot of other statistical stuff to try to make it more meaningful, but that function is the basis of finding the popularity of a given query. So I think you'll have a lot of fun playing around with it, and it is about as easy as it gets. And I think the images in particular, there's a couple of Python programs out there on the web that people have already written to manipulate images from PyGoogle. And so a lot of fun you can have playing around with this. Now, in a related, this is something I came up, it's not really very closely related to PyGoogle, but I happened to run into it in the last week or so in my scripting. And most of you may be well aware of this, but I had forgotten it. It's a very basic fact about Python, and that is the difference between I was comparing two objects or values and to determine whether they were the same or not. And there's two different ways to do this in Python, but they are very different in meaning and scope. So one of them is the if object X is the same as object Y with the two equal signs. The two equal signs compares the values of two objects to see if they're the same. But there's also another way of doing it, which I sort of used interchangeably, and that was a mistake. Because the other way of doing it is to say if object A is object B or is not object B. I was actually doing is not. So I said if object A is not object B, then do certain things. But that compares whether the objects are identical, not what their value is, but they have to be the same object, which makes sense if you think about it. So if object A is object B, or I should say if object A is not object B, in my case, is different than putting the not equal, like the exclamation mark equal sign is not the same as, but that compares values. So exclamation mark equal sign compares values of two objects, whereas the is not compares identical objects with one another. Are they or not identical objects? So just a little tidbit I throw in there. Keep the emails coming. I'm continuing to receive an incredibly diverse amount of emails. Most of them are offer me good suggestions and also express some appreciation. So a lot of people are enjoying this podcast series, which I guess must mean that there are a lot of people out there who are not expert, who enjoy learning and listening to a podcast of someone else who's learning on an informal basis, because not everyone knows everything about this language, and we're all learning together. So keep the feedback coming. I'll read more of them on the future podcasts when I come around to that. So I am looking forward to some very detailed podcasts of a learning nature, explaining my scripts, which are using many different features of the language. Very busy right now. I have an illness in the family that I don't want to go into, but it's taken up a lot of time as well as my job. But I basically am working feverishly on these scripts also, and hopefully by Thanksgiving time I'll have enough time off to complete them and do some interesting learning exercises. So for now, I think I'm going to sign off, and thank you for listening and for subscribing and for voting for this podcast in some cases over at Podcast Alley or Podcast Pickle or the new Yahoo podcast service, which I find very good for finding new podcasts. So over and out. Thank you very much.